I've been reading through the Old Testament, but I've been taking my time. I've probably been reading for a couple of years, and I'm into 2 Kings chapter 10, and I'm going to read verse 15 and 16. And when he was departed thence, he lighted on Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him, and he saluted him, and said to him, Is thine heart right as my heart is with thy heart? And Jehonadab answered, It is. If it be, give me thine hand. And he gave him his hand, and he took him up to him in the chariot. And he said, Come with me, and see my zeal for the Lord. So they made him ride in his chariot. I read this several weeks ago, and I'm thinking of that phrase that Jehu said, Is thine heart right as my heart is with thy heart? So I got thinking about the word heart. Jehu asked him if his heart was right with his. If they were together, if their hearts were together, if they were in one accord, they were in one agreement, and they shook hands, they saluted one another, and he entered into his chariot together, and they rode together. And I was thinking of how Jehu had addressed him. Is thine heart right? So I was thinking of the word heart. I don't see Jorge here, but I asked him if he could look up on the computer how many times the word heart is used in Scripture. And so he did, and he called me back, and 895 times in Scripture the word heart is found. That's a lot of times, isn't it? A lot of places. And so I was thinking of the heart of man, but I was thinking of the heart of God. The heart of the Lord Jesus, the heart of the believer, and so on. In this portion here, we see two hearts that were together. They were in agreement. And that's the way it ought to be as a child of God, isn't it? So often there's divided hearts. And that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. Man's sin, man's heart was divided. Man's heart was separated from God because sin entered into the world. And sin divides. I'd like for us to look for a moment or think for a moment of the heart of God. When you think of that phrase, at least when I think of the phrase, heart of God, it's like it's beyond comprehension. It's more than we can speak about, or more than we can certainly comprehend. Isaiah says that the thoughts of God are we don't know his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. The greatness of God, we don't always understand. His thoughts are so great and beyond our comprehension. But yet he also said that David was a man after mine own heart. David was an ordinary man. Certainly was a servant of the Lord. walked with the Lord, had fallen into sin, and repented, restored, and God said he's a man after my own heart. Sometimes it's hard to understand some of these things in Scripture, but nevertheless, it's true, because the Word of God says so. Because God says he was a man after mine own heart. The heart of God, God's heart for you and I. I didn't get a chance to look up thoroughly, so I could be mistaken onto this. But there's one place in Genesis, specifically. Genesis chapter 6, let's turn to it. It speaks of the reference of God's heart. Genesis chapter 6, and verse 5. Speaking of the condition of man's heart, man's thoughts and so on. In Genesis 6, before the flood, before God destroyed man in the earth. Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Now there could be another place that it could be speaking of the heart of God. But in this portion we see that God's heart was grieved because of the wickedness of man. His thoughts, his imaginations was only evil continually. That seems as though that's depicting today, isn't it, as well? The thoughts and the imaginations of man today is just, I believe, as evil, continually evil, as it was in the days of Noah before the flood. The wickedness of man. The very imagination of the thoughts of man. What man images in his mind, thinks upon, dwells upon, is only evil continually. It's a picture of man's heart, isn't it? And God was grieved at the heart of man because of the wickedness continually that man exercised, and man lived and practiced before the flood. God saw the wickedness of man that was great in the earth. And the wickedness today is great, isn't it? Larry was mentioned Sunday concerning those of the clergy that involved in homosexuality and lesbianism these things you never heard of until the last 10 years or whatever have come to light. These were never spoken of, never heard of, never thought it would ever be. That men that handle the Word of God and read it, but yet carry on such practice and say it's okay, it's my lifestyle, it's don't discriminate against me, and so on. How sad it is. It's nothing but a picture of the wickedness of the thoughts and the imaginations of man. Jeremiah says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? Who can know the wickedness, the deceitfulness that lies within the heart of man? And who can know it? We see so much on TV and hear so much the choice of words that is used is just a picture of evil, that which dwells in the heart and the imagination of man, and think it's okay. Nothing wrong. Well, the Word of God says it's evil. It's wickedness. And God says it's that which He hates. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. We're going to go to verse 18. An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, and feet that be swift in running to mischief, and so on. This is what God says He hates. And I believe in His heart He hates. A heart that deviseth wicked imagination. Came from Satan. And Satan's heart was lifted up. Thought he could be his God. It was only pride. Satan was proud. It was pride was why he fell. He's a devise of wickedness in the heart of man. Satan is behind the wickedness. He's a prince of this world, the god of this world. He's behind the wickedness that is in this world, that is great on this earth. God was grieved in His heart because of the wickedness of man. He was grieved. God's heart was grieved to see how far man has fallen in his heart, in his imagination, so far from Him, had fallen into sin. The expression of the wickedness of man is the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Only evil continually. We know that the Spirit of God can be grieved as well, can't He? Grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption, Paul says. The Spirit can be grieved because of sin in the life of a believer. The Spirit can be quenched, can no longer work, we can hinder His work in our life, can't we? Because of sin. We can grieve the heart of the Father, and we can grieve the work of the Spirit of God in our life because of sin. Oh, how we need to be drawn to the Lord day by day, more as we see the day of His coming approaching. How we need to stay near to the heart of God, near to that which pleases Him and that which brings glory to Him. But also thinking of the heart of God for Israel. And God's heart was for His own people, Israel. God's heart was grieved because Israel had turned from Him, had turned away into idols, high places, and so on. God was grieved at the way that Israel had fallen, had followed the nations, the gods of the nations, had followed their own cunning ways and so on. And Israel today is a waif from God, not in fellowship with God as a nation. Thankful for those, the Jewish race, that are coming to know the Lord, recognizing the Lord as their Messiah, and recognize Him as the only Savior of the world. But as a nation, there's a day coming when God is going to deal with Israel. And Israel will be restored back in fellowship with God. But there's great days of judgment that is yet to come that Israel will face because of their unbelief. I believe God's heart's grieved because of the wickedness and the ways of Israel, His own people. I was thinking of the heart of the Lord Jesus. Let's go to Matthew 11 and verse 28. Matthew 11 and verse 28. Very familiar verses. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." I think one of the greatest invitations is given here by the Lord Jesus to come. To come unto me. One of the greatest invitations to come to the one who could bear our burden, to find that we might find rest. That we're yoked with Him. We're not under the yoke of bondage, that we're under the yoke of freedom, the yoke of the Spirit, the yoke of the Lord Jesus. We're yoked with Him. I think this is one of the places, and I'm not so sure, as there's another place, but I could be wrong, where the Lord Jesus speaks of His own heart. He unveils His own heart. "I'm meek and lowly in heart." He tells about His own heart. That He's meek and He's lowly in heart. He's meek. He's lowly. He's ready to listen. He's the one who stands beside and cares for us. He's willing to listen. He has time for us. He's meek. He's willing to take upon Him our burden that we bear. And sometimes we bear heavy burdens, don't we? Sometimes life puts upon us some very heavy burdens. And sometimes it gets almost impossible to bear. And sometimes impossible. But we have one who is lowly and meek in heart. His heart is with us. And he says, I want to bear your burden. To take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I've been thinking about those two phrases. To take his yoke upon me. He's given it to us, hasn't he? He's given us his yoke. And he wants us to take it upon us. He's already done the work of redemption. High priest who's gone before us, the one who stands alongside us, beside us, he's already done all the work. I was thinking of that fact. Now he says, I want you to take my yoke upon you and to learn of me. So often we don't take time to just to sit and learn about him, of him. We need to be taught, don't we? You say, well, sometimes we don't, when we go through perhaps some difficulties, we fail to see that his yoke is already there and he wants us to take it, but we don't learn. We don't learn of him. And I've been thinking about that aspect. Unless we learn of him, how can we experience the fact that we've taken his yoke? That we're truly yoked with him. That he's there alongside us. As the oxen, two oxen are pulling together with the yoke between them that is keeping them together and pulling together. The Lord Jesus is in the yoke beside us. And he's pulling together for us. He's given us of his yoke and he wants us to learn of him. So often we, at least for myself, I fail to learn, to truly learn of him. He's meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Rest. Rest in knowing that we're yoked with him. And as we learn of him and recognize that we're yoked with him, we'll sense the rest upon our soul. We're not in this together alone. We're not standing alone. We can't bear the burden alone. But he's beside us. And he's there, and we're yoked together with him. His yoke is easy, and my burden is light. We so often dwell on the heaviness of the burden, fail to see his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. We want to lighten our load. We want to know the easiness of his yoke. I believe we need to learn of him, to dwell upon him, and to recognize that we're yoked together with one who is lowly and meek in heart and wants to give us rest for our souls. The heart of the Lord Jesus, as he tells us that his heart is meek and lowly. I thought maybe next week we could look at some thoughts on the Lord Jesus speaks concerning the heart of man, and different types of hearts, condemned heart, clean heart, different portions that speak concerning the heart of man. So I thought we might look at that next week. You can perhaps maybe have some thoughts that you might like to share. 895 times if the word is found, there's certainly thoughts for everybody. But that's how I got onto the subject, as I was reading in Kings. And take a look at that portion and see there some of the things that we can learn.